issuing unsubstantiated claims and seeking reflection of them in the summary document simply because it was said from the floor. Such actions set the wrong precedent for a consensus-based treaty and for a successful review conference in 2026. While we didn't take the floor earlier, I'd like to make a few comments on the chair's text, if I may. We heard broad calls in the text for FMCT negotiations at the Conference on Disarmament, and pending that for all nuclear weapon states to declare a moratorium on the production of fissile material for use in nuclear weapons. This step is urgently needed to forestall future arms races. We heard broad cross-regional support by many parties for risk reduction and arms control measures, measures that could have begun already if two nuclear weapon states were willing to engage with the United States. We welcome the factual corrections concerning extended nuclear deterrence relationships. As we and others have made clear, the treaty from its inception was designed to prevent nuclear proliferation through military alliances. This was accomplished with Articles 1 and 2 of the treaty. It was well understood when the treaty entered into force, when it was extended indefinitely, and that remains so today. We heard broad support shown for the IAEA's independent role and its technical expertise, particularly in verifying Iran's adherence to safeguards and supporting safety and security in Ukraine. And to the statement this morning that full safeguards implementation by Iran has nothing to do with the review of this treaty, well, I don't think anyone here takes that very seriously. We should all, however, take seriously statements by Iran concerning nuclear weapons capability or changes of nuclear doctrine. And finally, we note the enthusiasm for expanding the contributions of peaceful nuclear science and technology to sustainable development, as well as broad support for strengthening the review process, starting where the working group left off last year. Just to clarify a couple of issues that we found concerning. First, concerning one state's no first use policy, let me reiterate that that state's rapid nuclear expansion raises questions about its commitment to such a policy. It also calls into question that state's claim that only two states with the largest arsenals have a responsibility to engage in arms control. We regret that references to nuclear facilities in Ukraine fail to reflect that major safety risks are the direct result of Russia's illegal invasion and reckless actions in Ukraine. And we note it is a legal fact that there is no third category of states under this treaty, and therefore no third set of obligations, whether related to reporting or in any other area. Chair, going forward, when we're tasked to contribute to a factual summary, it's essential that we all stick to facts and not default to political maneuvering and sometimes unprofessional and undiplomatic language that distorts reality. It is deeply regrettable that some delegations chose to focus instead on prioritizing their own disinformation and attempts to erase what we discussed here through procedural tactics. No matter how hard some try to alter reality, facts are stubborn things and rarely open to interpretation. We must do better, and I believe we can, and I can assure you that the United States will continue working with all states' parties to advance this treaty and the purposes of its review process. Thank you.
I thank you, Ambassador. Now I give the floor to Ambassador Vanuatu to be followed by EU.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our warmest congratulations on the successful chairing of the second session of the Preparatory Committee for the 2026 Review Conference of the Parties to the Treaty. It is unfortunate that we observed yet again our inability for a consensus on a factual summary of the Preparatory Committee meeting today. We noted that the